Hello, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to answer your questions or discuss your real-life issue. We invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there is something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're talking about it in terms of proving all the claims that Jesus made about himself, in terms of proving that his death actually did take away the sins of the world, and that eternal life could be offered to anyone who trusts in him. So there's that evidence, that proof that the resurrection provides, but there's also personal implications of the resurrection and how we live the Christian life. So we want today to make that shift and start talking about how the resurrection applies for us in our day-to-day living as believers in Christ Jesus. And so with Andrew and Richard and Bob, we're just going to kind of throw that topic out. And so, Andrew, let's start with you. And, you know, you've written about the resurrection. You communicate in your church and, you know, various places that you speak about the power of the resurrection. What does the resurrection mean to you personally?
Well, you know, when I began to see that it was not just the resurrection of Jesus, but that it was my resurrection in him, that's what made it so significant. It's one thing for God to conquer death. Sure, God can conquer death, but for God to conquer my death, my spiritual death, and for him to raise me up with him. You know, I'm reminded of the Russian dolls, those Matushka dolls, where one doll is inside of the other. Well, if you bury one doll, and all the other dolls inside get buried. If you raise it up and seat it on a shelf somewhere in a store, then all the other dolls inside are raised up and seated on that shelf too. And so I began to see that I was in Christ, just like those dolls are enveloped in the larger one, and that it's not just about Jesus' resurrection. He didn't need to just show off his power for some generic reason. He showed off his power because he included me with him, and I get to be raised and made new. So I die to sin and I die to the law, but then I'm raised to something. He doesn't leave me in the tomb. He resurrects me, and now I live in him and from him. And so the resurrection, I think it means all the world to me when I realize, whoa, I'm not just celebrating Jesus' resurrection, but I'm celebrating my own spiritual resurrection in him.
Well, I think that's a powerful thing, and I think that's one of the key truths that a lot of Christians miss. We focus so much on the forgiveness issue, the fact that we are sinners, that we need to be forgiven in order to have a right standing before God. But that's just part of the story. The resurrection is really the heart and soul of the gospel. Without the resurrection, there is no new life. Without the resurrection, there's really no faith as well. So it does impact us. It does mm-hmm. make a difference in our day-to-day lives. Richard, how has it impacted you? What personal takeaways have you gained through your understanding of the resurrection?
Well, before I understood about the resurrection, I was completely sin-focused. I lived my life begging God for forgiveness every day, multiple times during the day. I'd go to bed, falling asleep, begging God for forgiveness, because the me on the inside was different than the me on the outside. And I knew I was failing, but I didn't know why. And so, and I was also, you know, I believed at the time that I could never claim I'm saved. I could claim that I hope to be saved, if I'm good enough. That was always the unstated goal. And when the resurrection dawned on me, all of a sudden, I was finished with sin, because Jesus was finished with sin. All of a sudden, I had hope, because Jesus gave me hope. All of a sudden, I realized that I had eternal life. And in fact, I'd had it for a long time and didn't know it. didn't realize. And it was one of the reasons why, you know, this cognitive dissonance was going on. The Spirit's telling me one thing and my belief system's telling me another. And I was fighting that all along, just fighting and fighting and fighting. And I could finally sit down and say, thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done, for bringing me along in exactly the same way Andrew just described. I'm part of this. It's not something that maybe I can afford to purchase one day, but I'm part of it because Jesus called me to that. The resurrection took my eyes off of sin, put them on Jesus and victory instead.
That's a huge statement right there, because yeah. So many of us are so sin-focused.
Yeah.
That's all we see. We've messed up again, and Lord, we bring that to you, and, you know, what are we supposed to do, and, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to punish me? Are you going to... And we're just so sin-focused, and yeah. I love that fact that resurrection takes our eyes off of sin and puts it fully and squarely on Jesus yeah. Christ. And the other thing is this idea of hope. You know, we're so fear driven, aren't we, guys? We're, you know, that's the motivation of our hearts apart yeah. from Christ Jesus. And there's only one thing that can trump that, you know, love cast out all fear, but hope is that thing that changes us, that really yeah. gives us an anchor that enables us to move forward. And that's what resurrection does. It brings hope into our lives in such a powerful way. Bob Davis, how about you?
Well, I think all of us probably, most of us anyway, are born into the belief that Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins, and that was salvation. But, you know, if without the resurrection, we are still in our sins, because it's a matter of life and death, because he was resurrected. He was unable to restore in us what we lost in Adam, and that, of course, was the very life of God. And I think once we come to an understanding that he is resurrected, he has given us his life, then it feeds into our identity, who we are as children of God. So I think it's very important for us to understand that we have a new identity when his resurrected life comes to reside in us.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it on today's program. If you have a question about the resurrection, how it impacts your day-to-day life, how it enables you to say no to sin and overcome the temptations of the world, let's talk about it. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. I know for me, my whole Christian life was up to me. I had to exert all of the energy and effort that I could muster to live for God and to be God's guy. And when I finally discovered the reality of the resurrection, I relaxed. I rested, because for the first time I realized it was on Jesus' shoulders and not mine.
Yeah.
And that changed everything for me. I remember a number of years ago, we were in Israel, and we were there on a ministry trip, and my wife Gina was with us, and she had taken the ticket of somebody that backed out and couldn't get a refund on it, so she was able to go. But that ticket was going to come back a couple of days before the rest of the group. And so on her last day, she and I just ventured out on our own and retraced the final steps of Jesus' life. And we ended at the empty tomb, and we just sat there, just the two of us. It, as far as, you know, a day, a spiritual day, there's none that compares to that one in my life. Yeah. And just the reality of the resurrection swept over us, and the fact that Jesus Christ truly is alive, and we can trust him. We can just lay our full weight of trust into his lap and allow him to do his work in and through us. It was one of the most moving experiences. And
I remember you guys doing that.
Yeah, it was just incredible. And, you know, if I have a desire, you know, being on radio, being involved in ministry, is that others can know that same reality.
Yeah.
That Jesus truly is alive, and they can trust him in their day-to-day living.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, 1-800-677-9377. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me, and we want you to do that as well. 1-800-677-9377.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, I was just going to say, Bob, you know, the thing for me about this issue is that you look at this definition of eternal life, and eternal life is not really even the same as everlasting life. Everlasting life is life that has no end to it. But eternal life is life that has no beginning or end. That's the true definition of eternal. So I love the fact that we Christians have eternal life, life with no beginning and no end, because it shows me, hey, that's not my life made better. That's not my life made longer. That is Christ's life. And so I don't have a set of principles. I have a person. I don't have a gift package awaiting me in heaven. I have a person now. He is my life. So it's like, you know, if you were indwelt by the spirit of Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer, I mean, there you are at the edge of the pool and you're in the Olympic Games. Well, you can swim the way that you've always swum or swam, or you can, you know, trust Michael Phelps in and through you. And, you know, that's what basic gospel is about. We're saying that we have been infused with the spirit of Jesus Christ, that every believer can now trust him and his instincts. It's a person, not a set of principles.
Christ in you, your hope of glory.
Amen.
Amen indeed. Well, let's go to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Hello, everybody. Yesterday's program, twice, you brought up an email that someone had, and Richard had talked about being careful not to make doctrine an axe, and that is very true. One thing that I have found from a gentleman by the name of Scott McKnight was that a lot of people may not realize this, but in chapters 2, 3, 10, 13, 14, 11, 14, 13, 14, and 17, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ presented in the book of Acts. And as you also aptly pointed out, it's not just about the cross. And we tend to have a salvation culture when Jesus really wants us to have a gospel culture, which culminates in his life. And for me, and why I am so thrilled to be part of Basic Gospel, is that one ministry out of all the churches I've ever been around, been involved in, all the ministries in my few young years, Basic Gospel really does stick with the gospel. And you all help cultivate a gospel culture versus just a salvation culture. Salvation is just get your sins forgiven, get your ticket to heaven. But resurrection life is something that I have every single moment of my life, every single day of my life. And that is what honestly propels me and keeps me going. And I, through Andrew's ministry and through Basic Gospel's ministry, I am probably one of the most blessed individuals on the face of this earth because of the wonderful, wonderful teaching, encouragement, and culture and environment in which not only does my soul grow into righteousness, I grow in grace every single day, and I thank you all for being so faithful to what God has got you doing so that I can and do grow in grace.
Well, thank you, Brad. Thank you for those kind words. And I think he makes a good point, guys, and the fact that I think so many of us look at the word gospel, or when we hear the gospel, we think of that only in terms of a door that opens for us, and that's it. But gospel, it becomes our very life. We live out the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ each and every day as we abide in him. So the gospel isn't just the door, it's the whole story. It's the whole narrative that God has invited to us to participate in through faith in his son. So I think that's a big point for us to really latch on to.
Yeah, you know, you think about just being a child of God, and you think, well, I want this resurrection life to emanate through me. I want this to be my everyday experience. I want to, you know, abide in Christ. I want to rest in Christ. I want him to live through me. How do I make it happen? And I think, you know, really at the crux of the basic gospel, we are announcing that, hey, Christian, you are compatible. You are now compatible with Jesus Christ, that it's not going to be all of him and none of you, that you're not going to be a lifeless hollow tube, but you are actually a person who he embraces. He's made you new. He's made you like him at the core. He's given you a new heart. And so step one is learn who you are. And step two is wake up and be yourself in Christ. And that's a beautiful message that builds us up. It's not like the legalism that tears us down.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk with William, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. I wanted to take this opportunity to share the importance of the resurrection in my salvation. Real quickly, my wife was saved before I was. And, of course, being a lost person, I thought she was being sucked into some kind of a cult. And but I didn't want to accuse her of that. So I kind of went along with all the things that she was telling me, and I going to church with her. But as a lost person, everything I heard was just foolishness. Then God answered the prayer of an unbeliever when he healed a disability that I had. And that brought about a realization in my mind that God is real. But I wasn't saved until I heard a sermon on the reality of the resurrection. And that's when I truly believed in my heart that Jesus rose from the dead. And thus fulfilled the words of Paul that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is God and believe in your heart that he rose from the dead, then you will be saved. And to this day, whenever I'm ministering to somebody and they have doubts of their own salvation, I take them to the reality of the resurrection, and that usually clears things up.
Yeah, because our salvation is pinned to his shoulders, not ours, isn't it?
Right, absolutely.
Because he lives, like, we live.
And like Richard was saying about the sin issue, I've learned in my own life that when I let go of the sin issue, when I realize, when I walk by faith that Jesus has dealt with it once and for all, then I'm no longer trying through my own strength to behave myself. And as a result, that makes me available as a living sacrifice for he who lives in me.
Yeah, William, that's powerful stuff.
Yeah.
We sure appreciate you coming on and sharing
that
with us.
I appreciate your ministry. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you, William.
Yeah, you know, Bob, William there, it seems like he's really talking about this significant difference between trying to live for God and then living from God and letting God be his source. I love what you said, too. You said that we are saved as long as Jesus lives. And that is profound, just to realize that my salvation is wrapped up in the length of Jesus' life. I usually think my salvation is about the quality of my life, the quantity of good works in my life. People might think that, but really our salvation is wrapped up in the length of Jesus' life.
Absolutely,
yeah. Well, we have a wonderful offer for our friends who are listening today, and that, of course, is Bob Christopher's CD series called The Resurrection Power for Daily Living. And we encourage you to pick up a copy of it. It's yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry. And you can make your gift either of two good ways. First is to go to our website, basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right on the homepage there. Or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. The Resurrection Power for Daily Living, yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. And let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, talk with Mary Jo, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I'll get quick to the point. Do you have to ask Jesus for forgiveness, or does he initiate it?
Yeah, well, Mary Jo, that's a great question. It's an important one. We've certainly thought a lot about that one here at Basic Gospel. And first of all, you know, there is an invitation to be placed in Christ. And so when we're born into this world, we do not have forgiveness. We have not taken hold of forgiveness. We have not believed in Jesus yet. And so we are without forgiveness. But then we look at the cross. We understand the work of Jesus Christ. We see that his blood was shed for our sins. and we invite him to come into our lives, and he forgives us, and he cleanses us of every sin imaginable, past, present, and future. So if you are in Christ and you have received him as your Savior and Lord, then he has forgiven you of everything you've ever done and everything you ever will do. So you don't have to ask him over and over to forgive you. If you're a Christian, you're already in him, and you are a forgiven person.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mary Jo. I think that's another significant implication of the resurrection. I mean, if you had a person that died of cancer, and you had the power to raise that person back to life, but left the cancer in the body, what's going to happen to that person?
They're going to die.
They're going to die again. Mm-hmm. So Jesus handled the thing that killed us. That was sin. That's what caused death. He did that through his shed blood on the cross. And he did that for a purpose, for a reason. And that was to raise us back to life. We had died because of sin. We had died spiritually. And that was going to cause physical death as well. We see that. We experience that. But Jesus did something to enable us to be raised back to life and to do so eternally, to give us that eternal life. And he took away our sins once and for all. And so when we receive Jesus, we receive that forgiveness that he provided for us, so that we could be made alive together with him. That is the gospel message. That's why this is such a good news story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I have an email question from Keith, guys. Writes to us from Blaine, Washington, has listened on our longtime affiliate, KARI. And it's totally off our subject, but it's one that we need to ask anyway. Says, I've heard many people ask whether the USA is mentioned in the Bible or mentioned that it seems not to be. During an end times Bible study focused on Daniel and the Revelation, I remember reading a passage that jumped out at me, I thought, wow, that sure sounds like the United States. The passage talked about the great city whose ships are numerous on the seas and whose merchants had conquered the world. Not that U.S. merchants are more evil than any other countries, but the focus on materialism that U.S. society seems to have made a god of it might come into question. Your comments on the USA being mentioned or not mentioned in the Bible?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not mentioned explicitly in the Bible, and in fact, many people have noticed the sheer absence of it. You would think with a nation of our prominence that we might be mentioned in some prophecy. And so it scares some people, quite frankly. They say, well, what in the world happens to the United States if they're not in the story, if they don't seem to be mentioned explicitly? But you got to remember that our hope is not in this world, and ultimately our hope is not even in our own nation. Our hope is in the very fact that we have become a people of God. We are a holy nation, a people not of this world. We're aliens and strangers here. And so, in a way, that's a tremendous comfort, that there will be no president and no government that is our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ alone.
And again, that gets down to the implications of the resurrection. Yeah. The fact that he is alive, we can have hope, regardless of what's happening in the world around us.
Yeah. Well, we've been discussing this, about what the resurrection means in your life. It, of course, is the single most significant event in human history. All of Christianity rests on its veracity. But what significance does it hold in your daily life? Well, Bob Christopher addresses that very subject in his series called The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. Order your copy today and you'll discover the power to say no to sin, the power to live above your circumstances, the power to love others as God loves you. The gospel message invites you to live each day in the power of the resurrected life of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. You can request your copy by going online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with our operator. Billy will be glad to take your order and receive your gift to support the ministry, because it's yours for a gift of any amount. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. It's available during Central Time office hours up to 6 o'clock, of course. 1-800-727-2828. Also want to remind you once again of our great conference, our great Bible conference coming up June 19th through the 21st. It's called Stand 2014, and will feature John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and our own Bob Christopher. Actually, both of those guys are our own. Andrew and Bob are Basic Gospel's own. So anyway, go online to stand2014.com. Get all the information, and we're going to wrap this one up and say we'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.